Thank you so much for listening to the news segment of Better on Draft, recorded on September 17, 2021. We appreciate you listening. You can join us Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern on betterondraft.tv or facebook.com/betterondraft. If you want to join us in the chat and talk to us, don't forget to check out all of our sponsors, Yatuna Liquor in Rochester Hills, just south of M59 on Rochester Road, North Center Brewing over in Northville, Michigan, just south of Baseline Road in Northville, as well as their downtown drinking district in Northville, Michigan. Also, check out PCI Brand Craft for all of your swag and business needs. If you want to do anything special and throw your logo on it, that's what they do. That's at PCI Brand Craft on Facebook and Instagram. Follow us on all of our social medias. That's Better on Draft on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You can find out what we were drinking by friending us on Untapped, Bod Podcast. And of course, you can find us on twitch.tv/Bod Podcast, where you can watch us live every single Friday night. Cheers, and we'll see you soon. We are live. This is the news segment, September 17, 2021. Are you listening to this via podcast? Maybe you want to join us live, talk about what we were talking about during the news. You can join us Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern. Next week, we have Oscar Blues. That's right, Oscar Blues out of Colorado. We're finishing the main trifecta of Canarchy, of Perrin, Oscar Blues, and Cigar City. We are excited to have them on. With that in mind, my name is Ken. Sitting with me is Dan. Dan, what are you drinking?
Ooh, I just cracked open a Moose Drool.
Oh.
Moose Drool.
Making me a little jealous over here.
Sorry.
Danny, what about you?
I'm still on the wine tonight. It's a wine night. I can't help myself.
My problem with wine is that it doesn't have a high ABV, and therefore I drink a lot, and therefore I get wine drunk and wine hungover.
Wine
and those
hungover.
Are the worst.
Ugh.
That is a bad hangover. It's a good drunk, though. I gotta say,
I've probably mentioned it on the show before. The last time I got wine drunk was I was in Boston and I couldn't remember how to get back to my hotel through the public transpo. Therefore, I went through Uber.
Nice.
It's a risk.
I mean, I feel like that's the negative of what happens when you live in Detroit and Metro Detroit is that you don't understand public transport enough to rely on it in other cities.
Right.
And therefore I went with Uber. But with that in mind, we have the news segment. I'm going to play the little intro.
Here is Robert with the beer news.
You know, sooner or later, I just need to get the guy who did it, because it's the guy we've been using for years. Like, over 5 years, this guy has been working with us for our little voiceovers. But with Robert not here, I am running the news. My name is Kent. Thank you so much. I am drinking from Old Nation Oktoberfest. I did finish a Double Dwarf, which is a 10% bomber. So we're having fun during this news segment. That's for damn sure. AKA relying on you guys to help carry me through this show. So I hope you guys are ready. All the information is the news article. So we're going to start right from the top. There is a lot of data that came out recently during the summer. The most recent data for craft beer within the industry had some interesting numbers that I believe. And that is growth between 2021 and 2020. At this time last year, we were approaching the second wave of COVID. I don't know. We're probably on the 9th or 10th wave at this point.
At least.
While on-premise was open during that time in Michigan, because obviously there was outdoor seating and it was pretty easy to do. And drinking districts became popping up. These are some numbers that I wanted to note. Regional and local brands at this time, so 2021 versus 2020. So we're a year later. Regional and local brands are down five percent, while national brands are down 2%. Hazy and Imperial IPAs have seen growth at over 10% each off-premise, so cans, bottles. Hazy, which is at 17.4%, digging into the regular IPA group, which is down 7.4%, still holds one out of every four beers sold. So one out of every four craft beers, IPA. Crazy.
Sad.
I mean, I agree. Move to cans has also created a lot. We talked about it with Travis over at Old Nation and the last episode, the Michigan Series number 17. And the most common packaging has been six-pack cans, which is 25.7% of sales, which is actually overtaken six-pack bottles, which is 24.5%. The rest of craft beer packaging could be bombers, could be draft sales.
Could be 40s.
I mean, if there are any, I don't think any craft breweries are doing 40s right now, but, you know, might not be a bad idea for a brewery who's looking to get a little shtick in. Make a malt liquor, put it in 40s. I'm sure people would buy it just to buy it.
Barrel-aged stout, put it in 40s.
Oh,
let's go.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Is Utopias come in a 40-ounce bottle?
They are bringing back Utopias this year. There was a litany of what they were doing, which included cherries and port barrels and a few other things. I didn't necessarily read all of it. But yeah, Utopias are coming back. There is one which we'll post in the show notes regarding Utopias that is going to be auctioned off, and the entire proceeds are going to go to a local charity. I believe it's St. Jude's. I'd have to really look back. I do apologize. I wasn't planning on talking about it, but here we are. But with that in mind, we talked about the numbers, and I want to know, and I'm going to start with Danny here. What can these numbers tell us about the future of craft beer? What can we expect this time, 2022? So do you think we're going to see an increase in the hazies and imperials? Do you think it's going to come back down? What do you think you're going to see within the next year of craft beer?
So this year we've done a bit of local travel, like Grand Rapids, Lansing, Kalamazoo, places that are beer focused. And I've seen a lot of not hazies. So I think we're gonna, I love a hazy, but I'm super, 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 super picky about New England's. I like about three and I'm good. I don't want to get into hops. I won't get into hops. But I think what we're going to start seeing and continue to see is strong IPAs, doubles, imperials, whatever you want to call it. I don't drink them. I'm glad they're around. I'm sure there are a lot of people who like them. It seems as though they are everywhere right now. I think they're going to stay. They're not going anywhere. Bring it back to West Coast style. I think that's what's going to keep happening. I've been seeing them more than anything else in the last 6 months. West Coast style, strong IPAs, for sure.
Wow, that's a pretty big pull for the fact that we don't see too many West Coast big beers right now. But what about you, Dan? I mean, you're closer to the West Coast than all of us.
You know, you still see the hazies out here. I'm kind of surprised about that too. It would be interesting to see more West Coast IPAs, because if I have to drink an IPA, I'd rather drink one of those over the hazy. So that is kind of interesting. As far as going back to I think we're going to go back towards pre-pandemic, hopefully. Hopefully that doesn't mean more IPAs and less of everything else, because you got to cater to everyone. Unfortunately, because I'm one of those people that doesn't want an IPA. Hopefully we'll see things swing back to normal and we don't run into things like you've seen where, oh, sorry, you can't have any darker beers, like, God forbid, making these niche beers, like a brown or a stout, for God's sake. Like, even some of the breweries here that focus on IPAs, pails, that sort of thing, have a porter on tap. So hopefully we'll see more going back to that instead of like, oh, here's your 19 IPAs. Which one do you want? Like, do you really have 19 different flavor profiles?
I have no comment on regard to that. That is for sure the opinion of Better on Draft, and its owner has been known. If you want to find it, go to facebook.com/BetterOnDraft, which is where you can watch us live at 7 p.m. Eastern as well. But I feel like there is going to be a turn, and we've talked about it a lot. And what we're not seeing in these numbers as many, as much as we've talked about it, lagers, pills, Helles's, like these beers we've been told is going to continue to grow. But what I think we fail to understand is that those are the lower ABV beers. Those are the lower caloric beers. Those are the lower carb beers. And I think what we were expecting with lagers, we are getting in seltzers, and we're getting in another article, which we're going to talk about in a moment. But I feel like when we were saying lagers and crisp ales is where the next phase is going to be, I feel like we didn't realize what we were saying as lower calorie beer. And the reason I bring that up is our next article, which is AB InBev, which is going to be continuing its foray into the NA beverages to compete against some of the largest craft beer beverages with Stella Artois Liberté. So we got a little bit of data and information. It's the same place we got the information from our previous article, Nielsen IQ. New brand craft or craft brand sales has multiple NA beers in it. So these means that the top moving beers, the beers that are moving a lot faster than the other beers, three of them are NA beers. That includes Sam Adams Haze IPA, Lagunitas IPNA, and Athletic Freewave Hazy IPA. Now, the entire trend of new craft beers is actually being led by New Belgium, which is being led by Voodoo Ranger Imperial IPA and their Hoppy Pack. Again, this is craft beer brands, not just specifically a specific thing. So it appears that craft breweries are sticking with what they know with NA beverages as they're making IPA and hazy categories. With the already laid out distribution path for ABI, will they take over the lager pills territory for NA drinkers with beers like Stella Artois Liberté? And is there a style you'd want to see a major or craft brewer do in the NA category that you think would succeed? I'm going to start with Dan here.
Yeah, they got to get more or better stouts in the NA category. There are companies that I think even Athletic makes one. They're not that good, though. You got to try and find a way to make something like a darker beer in NA that's actually enjoyable. I think that's the problem when it comes down to it. I don't know why they can't figure it out. Maybe it's because of the ingredients, but I don't know. I'd love to see some darker beers in NA, in an NA style.
Danny.
I agree. I'm not a huge stout or a dark beer drinker, but I do like non-alcoholics. And I have found they don't taste right. They're not right. They taste like tea or weak coffee. I don't get it. They can be better. I think that would be a great thing to hit, a great mark to reach. It's something that's lacking. I think definitely darker NA beers are the way to go. Absolutely.
I'm going to disagree with you guys a little bit. I think that the NA style, a lot of people that want to drink non-alcoholic beers, whether they are recovering, whether they're looking for a caloric difference in their beer, or whether they're looking for, as we kind of talked about with Two Roots, when we had Two Roots on the show, where the guy would drink an NA beer in between shots of bourbon. I think that there are a lot of people who want that, and I think that the flavor profile of a beer that they're going to want is going to be these lager and pills. And while you do have NA lagers and pills from the craft breweries, I don't think people are promoting it as much as they are their IPA, which is fair. It's their bread and butter. We've talked about it, obviously, on this show, that IPAs is way to go. But I think because they're not pushing these lagers and pills, they are allowing AB InBev, soon probably Molson Coors, Constellation, to come in with these NA lager and pills where people are going to do it. Because everyone knows O'Doul's, but I think there is a stank on O'Doul's that nobody wants to drink anymore, and that they will go for a Stella Artois Liberté or a Bud Light Zero, I think is the name of the Bud Light version of
Heineken Zero.
So Heineken 0.0. I saw a friend who drank a Heineken 0.0 earlier, and I'm like, you know, hey, did you know that there is a Michigan NA brand now? And he's like, I had no fucking idea. I'm like, oh, that's not very good for you, Two Roots.
But to the point, though, you know, you think about this, and I have a can of Heineken 0.0 downstairs. I wish I had it up here. You know, do those beers taste nearly as good as like the Two Roots? Because the Two Roots beers taste like an IPA. So I could definitely, if I had to drink an NA beer, I would drink one of those.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, but the topic, the topic is, do you want to drink one of the 50 NA IPAs or one of the very few craft pilsners, lagers, NA? Because there aren't that many.
Maybe I haven't tried enough of those outside of the macros, like an O'Doul's or a Sharps that was around back in the day. But if I had to choose between the two, I'm going to take an NA IPA, I think, because of the flavor.
The much flavor. Flavor, yeah.
But you're the guy who was just bitching about a brewery that had too many IPAs and nothing dark.
We're talking about NA, so if I'm forced to pick an NA, I can drink a NA stout, which tastes like crap. I don't know if you've had one before. They taste like water. I can have a Heineken or a Sharps or an O'Doul's, which tastes like crap, or I can have the thing that at least kind of tastes like a beer. I mean, call for desperate measures. I mean,
the NA stouts, NA porters that are trying to be stouts and porters maybe need to try to come up with something that's a little bit different because they just can't get that malt build of a stout that you want that's just non-alcoholic.
I do. I think they have to work with their recipes and try to get something that at least represents a stout or a porter or something at least a little bit better. The ones that are out there are a little bit too watery.
Yeah, they're tannic. I can't say enough. They all taste like tea to me.
That's a fair way to describe it.
Yeah, and I don't think there's too many people who are making, like, I would love a, and I think there's a few, a macro or two that make like a NA Amber or NA Red Ale, that I would prefer more than anything.
Yeah.
Honestly, like if me personally, if I'm going for something NA, like if it's not available, like I'll definitely go towards like a lower ABV style beer. So definitely like an English mild. But if there is like an NA version of an English mild where it gives me the flavor of an English mild, but without the alcohol content, even though it's the lowest alcohol content already.
3.2% alcohol. Yeah, let's go.
Imagine if you will, you were doing, nice bourbons or nice whiskeys, or you were trying to break it up because, you know, you're going to be out for a bit and, you know, you have to drive home and you want that social aspect of a beer without the ABV.
That's fair, and it would be nice to have more options like that.
I think I don't know where we are, because like obviously de-alking beer is a lot is a big process and not too many people can do it right now, and that's not just like making like a craft root beer or a craft soda and calling it whatever you want, but I feel like, and this kind of like goes back to last week's, where we talked a lot about governmental industry. I would love the ability, if I was a brewer, let's say for instance on Blue Skies, which is out in Auburn Hills. They have one in Onsten, but Auburn Hills. And I wanted to make a non-alcoholic beer. I would love to call up Rochester Mills production facility and be like, hey, I have a beer. I want to de-alk it. And like, I think there is, and we'd probably have to talk to Brigham in, but there is, I think, a missed opportunity here for them having that de-alker, to be able to offer that as a opportunity for brewers to create a de-alked beer. I think that would help a lot. And I think that's something, I mean, it's September 17, 2021. Maybe I reach out to Pauline Wenzel over in the west side of the state, our friend of the show who helped do a lot of alcohol laws in 2020, and be like, you know, hey, what can we do to change this? Because I feel like as a brewer, and whether it's Rochester Mills Brew Pub, which is different than the production facility, but as a brewer, if I'm experimentation and I want to do a non-alcoholic beer and I want to de-alk a beer, I would love to be able to hire Rochester Mills, de-alk a beer, and go. Just a thought, just an idea.
It's a great idea. I don't know. I know they talked about it. How long does that process actually take?
No idea. We may have asked them when we had two roots on the show. But I'm sure that's something that either someone in the chat or someone leaving a review, obviously a 5-star review when you do. But tell us if we're wrong on iTunes.
Tell us if we're wrong. I'll be over at your house with that 1-star review.
Oh, there's a lot of houses I need you to go to. A lot of people did not like the fact that black people like beer, or women like beer for that matter. That's where a lot of our 1-stars are, is that we became an SJW show for saying that black people like beer. It happened, but I want to keep on this trend. We're talking low-cal beer. We're talking D-Alc beer. I am excited to announce that there is an actual zero carb keto beer for Ken that's upcoming here in 2022.
I don't believe this.
No, first of all, keto is a bingo square as much as pulling a Nick now. According to CNN Business, early 22, we're going to be getting Bud Light next.
Okay, which is, you're not going to drink that. Let's go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
First of all, you don't think I'm going to drink that? Fuck yeah, I'm going to try it. We don't know the style of the beer. We're just going to assume that it's based on Bud Light name, that it's going to be some type of light lager, or if it'll be just the Bud Light name encompassing it. Because obviously Bud Light does Bud Light Seltzer, which isn't a beer. They do Bud Light other things, which aren't necessarily Bud Light. It's just the Bud Light name.
Final Fantasy. Yeah, okay.
So
yeah, it's like Final Fantasy.
So this beer is going to be 80 calories, which is less than a shot of booze, and less carbs than Bud Select 55 at near double the ABV. And this is what I'm referring to as less than a shot of booze is 80 calories for a 12-ounce 4%er versus a 1.5 shot of 80 proof alcohol. Obviously it's not the same amount of alcohol. I'm just saying drink for drink. Are these low-calorie, low-carb options here to stay, or do you think people will revert to other low-carb options like liquor and seltzer after they try it? Danny, you were talking about drinking and drinking keto. What's your opinion on this?
I think they're here to stay, but I don't think that seltzers are going away quite as quickly as we'd want them to, or I want them to. I think.
Do you have a vendetta against seltzers?
I just don't care about them. Is that like, I don't care. Like I think they're fine. I don't know why they have to be ready. I don't care. I think the low carb, low cal is not a trend. Like it's literally a lifestyle for a lot of people. Younger people drink less than people our age. Like, let's be real. And it's true. And so
I actually think, hold on. I actually don't think I'm the baby of this show. I think I'm older than you.
Than me?
Yeah. I'm 35?
37.
Oh shit. I'm still the baby of this show. God damn
Sorry,
it.
Con. Sorry, Con.
Sorry. So yeah, people younger than us, they drink way less and they drink different than us too. They care way less about craft and more about, as far as I've noticed anyway, just amount, you know, just not numbers, but like literally amount you can drink. So I don't know. I just think that the low-cal, the low-carb, these are the people who are making it. The people who are making it are us. So we're going to be drinking it, you know. It's us who are keto. It's not 22-year-olds. It's not 55-year-olds. It's us. It's for us.
Dan, I mean, you made a lifestyle change recently, which you've lost a lot of weight, which I commend you on, going to a lot of liquor versus beer and the heavy stuff. What's your thought and opinion on this? Because obviously you're someone who's made that decision.
I think Danny's right. I think this is our generation. You know, me, late Gen X, you guys, early millennial. I think this is kind of our thing. I think there is room for this kind of beer because there aren't any. I mean, you can drink like a Mick Ultra right now, and that still has 4 or 5 carbs, 12 ounce. Or no, I think it's like 2.5.
I think it's 3.2 because I think Miller Lite is 3.3 or Miller Lite.
Oh, the
Lite
triple
is...
hop. Yeah, the good old triple hopped beer. But I think there is room for this because right now, if you really want to go zero carb, your option is liquor. As long as it doesn't have sugar in it, or right. seltzer. So I think there is room for a zero-carb beer, and I think it will stick around. Do I think that there will be a lot of them? Probably not, because okay. I don't know how big the market is for that. Because it would be nice to have a beer or two when I'm not drinking Moose Drool or 12% barley wines.
Yeah.
But there is definitely a market for this, and I'm glad to see something's coming out. It's unfortunate it's Bud Light, because if this is like regular Bud Light, God forbid, this is going to be the worst thing and people won't try other ones. I mean, Bud Light's pretty bad when
well,
it comes down to it.
Here's the thing, and I think you made a great point, is that you were talking about how Two Roots was talking about how you would want a keto beer between your beers. And as much as you're not looking at the ABV, you're looking at the caloric intake to where, hey, I can drink a beer that I like, styles that I want, but in between I can drink something that's low-cal, easy to drink, and for me, it's almost like resetting your palate. That's why I always want like a pils or a lager when I go to NA, because I want something that's crisp, clean, easy to drink, and something that's not going to leave like this long-lasting taste in my mouth to where I do a shot of vodka and it tastes like vodka and malt.
It's like when you get a flight, you don't start with the IPA. You start with the pils, right?
Well, that's if you get a flight with an IPA in it.
Oh, see, when I get the flight, it's all like barrel-aged stouts. So like, which one do you start with?
But I cultivated these news articles so that they really tied in together. So Rob, when you're listening to the show, make sure you do that next time. No, I can't. He does so much. I appreciate it. But we posted on our Facebook page about 2.5 weeks ago a article from the Brewers Association with a lot of data points. These data points are very specific. They're very specific to major grocers. So your Kroger, Meijer, Walmart, Giant Eagle. What do you got over there, Dan?
Fry's, Safeway, Albertsons. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So
other brands of Kroger.
We posted on Facebook about the tailspin of new sales in the plateau during the summer months of 2021 of major brands and major grocers. So again, focus, major brands, Truly, White Claw, Corona, Coors, Bud Light Seltzer, in major grocers. So while locals like Oddside continue impressive sales when dealing with the larger numbers and distribution, some of the major players are starting to see the end. Now, guys, I don't know about you. I actually listened to an older episode of ours where we were drunker, which is fair, which is episode 62 of the Better on Draft podcast. This episode, 2016, we actually had a host call out the future of hard seltzers and said hard seltzers is the future. So 2016 Better on Draft was on top of the hard seltzer craze. And here we are a few years later asking, has the craze passed us? Now, there's still plenty of money to be made. But the question is, will there be a time where it'll be necessary for the bigger names to get out? Now, when we talk about breweries and craft beer and stuff, remember there was the Budweiser 1866 or whatever. They had that copper lager, that amber lager that came out. That just
it was
I liked it, but it doesn't, like, if you push it and it doesn't work, like, obviously you have to figure out a time when you come out. Now, Corona has exited the seltzer game. Coors. Coors has exited the seltzer game. Is there going to be a point where a seltzer a seltzer maker, a big one, becomes too pot committed and gets stuck in their, a la Liberty Street Brewing, who got stuck in their distribution cycle when they weren't necessarily able to distro or compete against the bigger breweries, or multitude of breweries. I shouldn't say bigger, but multitude of breweries that came out after them. I'm going to start with Dan here because it's definitely a more businessy.
Yeah.
So as far as seltzer, is someone going to get stuck? One of the bigger names? I don't think
Are they going to get stuck being pot committed? Or what's the phrase when you're too deep into it that you just pot can't get out?
Pot committed is great. Good poker analogy. I don't think a major brewery will be. Are there smaller breweries? I don't have enough info if there's any smaller brewers, like regional brewers, local brewers that are into seltzer that deep.
What's your seltzer brewery game like out there? Because we've got Shorts, we've got Middle Coast. I'm trying to think.
You got Oddside.
Oddside was the big one. Founders, I think, has their seltzer, the Masagave.
So I can tell you two breweries off the top of my head that make a couple of seltzers. They don't distribute them. They're like in-house only.
Well, that's I want distribution because in-house only doesn't matter.
So you're not, there aren't any as far as who distribute. It's all the macros. You got the Bud Light seltzer, the Mick Ultra seltzer, the Corona seltzer, and those all sell. It seems to be pretty good. I don't think anyone out here is pot committed if we wanted to go down that road. I think there is going to be a thing where someone makes seltzers and has like one on tap at a time, one or two. I think that'll be the thing moving forward. I don't think you're going to see someone having five, six, like an IPA. On tap, I think it'll just be one of those things that everyone adds to their portfolio and has around most of the year.
I mean, that's speaking on Arizona. Danny, obviously you're here in Michigan with me. What do you think about, like, I feel like the people lost me. Oh, we got a little ding on here. All right. So, yeah, fuck. That means it's probably going to be a pain in the ass to to combine everything. Anyways, all right. So, where was I? Well, you tell me where I am. I'm going to reset it, and then I'll start from there.
You were asking me a question, and then we were gone.
Okay. So, yeah. Dan mentioned about Arizona. There aren't any Arizona seltzer makers that are big, like an Oddside or a Middle Coast or anything like that. So, I go to Danny. 1, 2, 3. So, with that, as Arizona does not have any type of seltzer makers, Michigan does. But what I'm kind of asking is, when we're referencing the macros, so I'm talking the White Claws, the Trulies, Coronas, Coors, Bud Light seltzers, do you think there might be a moment where a brewery gets too in-depth into making craft seltzer, or seltzer, that they just keep making it even though it's a loss for them? It's not even a loss leader. It's just a loss for them.
I don't think so. I think the time is coming when people are done with this. I mean, the stats are, they don't lie, right? Like, sales are down for seltzers kind of across the board. Is that right?
So sales are plateaued. When I say they're down, instead of increasing, they have leveled off fully.
They've leveled off.
But they leveled off during the summer, where usually craft beer or craft seltzer is exploding, right? Or seltzer is exploding, I should say, not just necessarily craft.
So I think a lot of like craft places are realizing, like, we don't have to have 8 seltzers. We can have a seltzer on tap and put the grapefruit juice, or put the lemon juice, or put the strawberry flavoring, whatever crap they want to put in it, and just keep it in house, because what they should be focusing on is their beer, because they're a brewery. And
I went to a brewery. I won't say their name. But when I said I would like their seltzer, which they had a name for the seltzer, so I assumed it was a seltzer, they then asked me which flavor I wanted. And I said, no, I will drink something else.
Though.
Yeah, like it. Like I thought, like the name of the seltzer, it wasn't just hard seltzer. Like I thought it was like
seltzer. Oh no.
Yeah, I thought it was a seltzer that had like mango in it or something like that. Like I don't remember the name.
So, but was it an unflavored seltzer they were adding?
They were adding syrup to it.
Ugh.
So it's not as great as like I loved what Récolte did. Récolte used to take their mead and water it down and seltzerize it so that you had a much less sweet mead as a seltzer.
Yeah.
Great idea.
It's a good idea.
COVID because that ruined Récolte. But I went there and I'm like, oh, hey, I'll have this, their seltzer. And I'm thinking it's like a peach seltzer or something like that. Like, oh, what flavor do you want? And I'm like, well, if my options just aren't peach, then obviously. And I look and I see the syrup buttons.
You see like fucking grenadine and.
Not, well, not grenadine, but like if you're at a fucking like coffee shop. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, oh, adding the. I know what you mean. Jesus.
And I'm like adding a syrup and I'm like, no, thank you. I'm going to buy a beer. And I wound up I got their oatmeal stout, which was great. But at that time, I was just feeling a seltzer. And I'm like, I just want to. Well, I was also eating, too. And I'm like, you know, as I mentioned on the show, I can't eat and drink at the same time. So
no,
you should have went for like the unflavored version. I didn't mean to cut you off, Danny. Sorry. But
that's actually not a bad idea. I should have tried that and been like, you know, hey, can I get a small pour, like a flight pour of that? That's next time I'm feeling you right there. I'm going to try that.
Yeah. Unflavored. We always have my husband always has fizzy water on our kegerator. And we just put flavors in it if we want it, and or vodka for me. It's the
good
best
call.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Anyway,
all right. Well, it's been a great episode of the news. I have no idea how long it is because we had a little reset. But obviously, if you're listening to this still now, stay tuned. If you're live, stay tuned. We're going to be doing the King of the Hill. If you're not live and you're saying, what the fuck's King of the Hill, head on over to our Instagram. Check out our Instagram TV. That's where you can find the King of the Hill. That's going to do it for the Better on Draft. The news segment, September 17, 2021. No matter what you think of your beer, we think it's Better on Draft. Have a good night.
Peace.
Oh, there's Rob.